Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. And good morning to 2016. Well, today I want to talk about calendars. It's, you know, time to flip that page to a new day, a new month, a new year, January 1st, 2016. And you're going, okay, we're going to hear about the history of calendars. Well, yeah, I'm going to talk about that a little bit. But, you know, there's some pretty exciting, pretty local history related to calendars that we'll get to here in a moment. But I wanted to ask a question of how many calendars do you have in your house, in your purse, in your probably computer, in your phone, wherever? One person I asked earlier this year was they have none hanging on their walls because they completely rely on their computers and technology sorts of things. But as I looked around, I have three hanging on the walls in different places, and I have one magnetic one on my refrigerator. Plus, I carry one with my work schedule in it, and plus the techie ones. So I'm still in the calendar age. The calendars, of course, have been around for a long, long time in various ways. And I, as I was thinking about calendars, I was reminded of the one that we had at home when I was growing up. I'm guessing it was some agriculture company. I don't know whether it's a feed company or some other kind of company, but had pockets on it so that my dad used that instead of a shoebox. He had this calendar, and that's where all the receipts and the bills and all those things that he needed to keep, they went in the pocket for each month on the calendar. I'm guessing some of you were familiar with those too. But of course, calendars are a method of timekeeping. We have various ways of keeping time, you know, with clocks and the sun and all kinds of things. But calendars are explicit schemes used for timekeeping. The first recorded calendars date to the Bronze Age, dependent on the development of writing in the ancient Near East and the Egyptian and Sumerian calendars. And a larger number of calendar systems of the ancient Near East becomes accessible in the Iron Age and the Babylonian calendar, and, you know, goes on and on in ancient history. So calendars in one way or another have been around for a long, long time. Calendars in antiquity were used lunisolar, depending on the introduction of the intercalary months to align the solar and lunar years. Okay, we're getting into things that I don't even understand. But, you know, I think the important message is that calendars have been important to people for a long, long time. Now, what about calendars in the United States? Well, again, being used for a long, long time. But calendar advertising, you know, and I counted up, I think I've received about a dozen calendars from various groups and businesses as a way to say thank you, as a way to remind me that they're there. So calendars are still a very much a marketing tool, even though some people don't have them. But calendar advertising began in the 1850s with a company in Philadelphia when they began printing calendars that contained advertising. Promotional wall calendars became even more popular as printing technology improved. And so in 1878, a couple of brothers opened a printing shop in Newark, New Jersey, and began printing advertising calendars, fans, posters, and other paper items. And then it just continued to grow in popularity. Became in the late 1880s, thanks to two Ohio newspapermen. We're getting closer to home here, so hang on. That was Jasper Fremont Meek and his competitor, Henry Beach, and they were fierce competitors. So they figured out how to put ads on a myriad of items from aprons, hats, and a wide variety of household items, and even invented that classical metal tray advertising colas, which now are more than collectible. So it wasn't just calendars that they came up with, but all these other marketing items that probably were given away as, you know, promotional kinds of things. But then, about that same time, the late 1880s, our local folks, and by local I mean Red Oak, decided to invent arch calendars. And that was Thomas Murphy and Edward Burke Osborne. They both were from Red Oak. And they came up with this idea as a way to promote, but actually it was a little bit by accident. They were building a new courthouse in Red Oak, and they printed a watercolor of this new courthouse on cardboard. And then they had to pay for it, so they printed advertising around the painting and added a calendar pad. They were off and running. It was a huge success. Until then, nobody had thought to place attractive art on calendars. And so they purchased fine photographs and paintings from a variety of artists and improved their printing, their capabilities to include three-color printing. And by 1894, Murphy and Osborne employed a total of 94 people, including 14 traveling salesmen, and printed an estimated 3 million calendars. Now, when we talk about traveling salesmen, we're not just talking about Southwest Iowa. We're talking about across the country. The next stage in this whole Murphy company history was that at the end of 1894, Murphy sold his interest in this that current business to Osborne, and he moved it to Newark, New Jersey, to be closer to the art and business centers in the New York metropolitan areas. And he had a new printing technology, letterprint printing, to produce calendars of even higher quality. So the success of these calendars and the quality of the printing, he set up printing plants in Toronto, London, and Sydney, Australia. So this little company that was formed in Red Oak, and when I say little, you know, like I say, in 1894, they employed 94 people plus the salesman. That's a pretty good company in that time. So it grew and expanded around the world. However, Mr. Murphy continued to print locally. He even printed the Red Oak Express. And that was in, you know, about the time that he sold the original company to his partner. But it went on for over 100 years. Actually, the Thomas D. Murphy Company was then sold in, I believe it was 2000, to another company, and then it was poorly managed and went completely out of business after that, in within a few years. Now, if you want to see that whole area, I mean, this was a big plant. They called it even a campus of plants. Much of that's still there in Red Oak, and you can visit. It is on the National Register of Historic Places. Now, talking about, you know, with the printing capabilities and adding the art to the calendars, that was the kind of new part to the success of this company. That led to a different kind of art in terms of, rather than fine art, it was called art of the people. And many famous artists were hired to produce materials that went on these calendars. And if you can find any of that original art, it could be worth a bunch. Probably the least expensive, now these are the originals of the art that went on the calendars, probably $1,000, but up to in not fairly recent history, an oil on canvas, California landscape with mountains in the distance, which was done in 1923 and signed 22 inches by 30 inches. And as I say, this is art that then was reproduced on the calendars. If you had the original of that, it was sold for $35,200. So calendar art became a very important part of the scene in art world and in the calendar world. All in all, calendars are still one of the most efficient advertising vehicles, even though they have lots of competition. We still see them in many places. Many people still have them. They're big giveaways. And we sometimes go back to using those old prints. And, you know, so they're sort of vintage. And if you have some of those, actually the calendars, not just the art, but the old calendars, they themselves are probably worth quite a bit of money to collectors. So calendar art, calendars with art on them, a really important part of calendar history. And it's kind of exciting that our neighbor Red Oak had a really important part of that. So until next time, turn your calendars to January 1st, 2016, and best wishes as it starts off.